From NATO Allied Command Transformation in Norfolk, Virginia, this is the NATO Innovation Podcast, where we'll take a close look at new technologies that have been adopted, adapted, or built to solve operational problems for the Allied warfighter. One of the lead initiatives from ACT Innovation is a project called Jigsaw, a software tool that has dramatically improved air-to-air refueling tasking with more agile and effective planning and operations. Jigsaw was tested in spring of 2021 at NATO's Combined Air Operations Center in Poggio Renatico in Italy, and later at Exercise Ramstein Ambition in Germany. Our guest here today is Lieutenant Colonel John Clough of the Royal Canadian Air Force. Colonel Clough earned his master's from the Royal Military College of Canada and is a graduate of the Canadian Forces Joint Command and Staff College and of the U.S. Air Force, or USAF, War College. He is a former commandant of two Canadian Forces Flying Training School, a subject matter expert in pilot training, and an A1 qualified flying instructor. He's flown more than 4,000 hours and was deployed to Afghanistan as part of Operation Resolute Support. Colonel Clough is now the Business Development Officer for ACT Innovation and is the NATO Project Officer for the technology we're talking about today, Jigsaw. John, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Tell me about this air-to-air refueling software tool, Jigsaw. What is it and how did it come to your attention?
Well, I think you said it. It really is related to air-to-air tasking and refueling. What we did when we stood up the branch about 18 months ago is we went to NATO warfighters and said, hey, what are your problems? One of the big problems that was brought up by NATO Air Command, which was kind of our lead customer, for lack of a better term, was this air-to-air refueling planning and tasking. So that really was the genesis of how we got involved in this project.
Yeah. So take us back to October 2019, when you were first introduced to this operational pain point in your role at ACT Innovation. How did that happen?
Well, we sent a team from the command here and from the branch to Ramstein, Germany, to Allied Air Command. Really in a bit of a dragon's den, sort of shark tank type format, we essentially had arranged with them to present us some problems, your top three or four problems. Let's talk about them. Let's analyze them. And then let's see where we can find common ground where we think we can help you solve those problems. Their number one problem that they wanted to address was this air-to-air tanker planning. I think that it's fair to say that tanker planning in general hasn't really evolved a lot since tanker planning started several decades ago. So this is a thing that really is a force multiplier to be able to do this more effectively and more efficiently.
So walk us through how air-to-air tanker planning works in a combined air operations center, a CAOC. What does that look like?
Right. So an air operations center is a very, very complicated organism. In a major joint operation, you would be looking at several hundred people potentially working in a CAOC, potentially displaced or dispersed as well. It really has three components. It's a 72-hour cycle. So you have strategic plans. That portion comes up with what do we want to achieve. Then the next portion is combat plans, which is this is how we're going to achieve it. And then combat operations, which is let's go do it. And then the cycle continues after you assess the impact of that first cycle. So really, tanker planning lives in combat plans. When the experts are determining how they're going to accomplish what strat plans has tasked them to do, the air-to-air refueling is an absolutely critical component of making that operation happen.
And how is that usually planned? Walk us through the steps as they're traditionally done and the number of personnel that would be assigned to handle air-to-air tanker planning.
Given the traditional method, what you would do is there's the overall air campaign is run by something called an air tasking order, an ATO. Mm. So from the computer system, the ATO generator, what the planners would do is they would take the receiver requests out of that, put them on sheets of paper, tanker requests, and then they would have to, on a whiteboard or on a big sheet of paper, and we're talking probably 3 or 4 feet by 6 to 8 feet, depending on the time frame and how many tankers we're talking about, and then draw individual lines for the requests and then try to pair those up hydraulically using calculators to see how much fuel is remaining. And they, you know, they start basically on the lower left of the XY axis and plan out the 24 hours. You may very well find two thirds of the way through the plan that you're out of fuel or out of tankers, and then you have to go back and replan the whole thing. This process takes a team of highly trained, specialized individuals several hours, depending on the number of tanker requests. With Jigsaw, you would take those same receiver requests from the ATO generating program. You would then input them into the terminal, which is just simply a laptop, essentially. And Jigsaw creates that flow board for you. That's what that overall big piece of paper is called. It's a flow board. So Jigsaw generates that for you. And then instead of having to essentially manually do all the calculations to come up with the plan, you just click and drag tankers and receivers together. When you get to a situation where, say, a receiver isn't getting enough gas or a tanker doesn't have enough gas to fulfill that request, Jigsaw actually gives you several options of available tankers or other ways that you can do it. So it's very, very smart.
And before we get too far ahead, actually, talk a little about the significance of tanker planning to the warfighter.
Well, the tanker planning is critical to any air operation in a warfighting scenario, because fighters and other aircraft are very, very thirsty machines and they need a lot of gas. Traditionally, or typically in a mission, aircraft will take off, they will often tank, then go conduct the mission, and then tank again on the way back. That mission, in many cases, cannot happen unless they get gas airborne. So this is a critical, critical piece. One might say an unsung sort of portion of an air-to-air campaign.
Mm-hmm. And when you say thirsty, what do you mean? Just how much fuel are we talking about?
A Legacy F-18, an Alpha Bravo model in full afterburner, burns about 1,000 pounds of gas a minute. Now, you don't go raging around an afterburner for multiple minutes unless you have to. The fighter community is very draconian in its fuel use. But suffice to say, on a major joint exercise or a major joint operation that NATO would engage in, you could be looking at anywhere from 800 to 1,000 to 1,200 tanker missions in a 24-hour period. Again, anecdotally, during Ramstein Ambition, I believe the number, if I'm correct, was around 300 to 350 tanker sorties or receiver requests in a 24-hour period. And that was using about 5 to 6 million pounds of gas in the offload. So the aircraft were burning more than that, but that's the additional fuel they needed airborne to accomplish that during one mission. It would be several dozen aircraft airborne at the same time. But yeah, 5 or 6 million pounds of gas and a top up during one sort of major sortie during one of these operations. So it's quite significant.
So when ACT Innovation takes a look at this problem, where does it start?
Well, really, what we did was there was an available tool and also a tremendous opportunity for NATO and Allied Command Transformation. As we were standing up this branch, you have to figure out, well, how are we going to do this? What's the methodologies? Let's get involved in this. We ended up teaming up with the U.S. Air Force. The commander of NATO Air Command is a four-star USAF general who had worked previously in Central Command in El Adeid in the CENTCOM CAOC. And that was sort of the genesis of Jigsaw as a tool in around the 2014-2015 timeframe. At the height of that Middle Eastern sort of campaign, they were planning upwards of 1,000 to 1,200 tanker missions a day and doing that, you could say, hydraulically. So under US DOD Innovation Initiative, they teamed up with some civilian partners and internal civilian partners to DOD and created an innovation center that's now known as Kessel Run. So it's a U.S. Air Force organization under Materiel Command that stood up an agile DevSecOps organization and created a software tool.
Let's explain that. That's Development, Security, and Operations, DevSecOps, which is a strategic approach for the rapid delivery of secure and reliable software to the warfighter.
Yeah. So the commander of NATO Air Command, being aware of this tool, say, this is my pain point, and you may want to look at this as a potential point of experimentation to see if we can derive a solution. That provided the opportunity for us in the innovation branch here to team up with Kessel Run to not only look at experimenting with this potential solution, but also deriving some mentorship and some information from them, an experienced and successful organization, and how to create an agile organization. And that's what we have done.
Essentially, then, this partnership between the U.S. Department of Defense Innovation Initiative and its civilian partners yielded this new air-to-air refueling software tool. And here was an opportunity to integrate that tool, Jigsaw, into NATO Air Command to rapidly address this operational pain point. Now, how did you adapt that software for NATO Aircom?
Well, to be specific, the whole scenario has kind of evolved. So Jigsaw itself is a tool that is a little bit, I guess you could say, non-specific. So it is a tool that does air-to-air refueling. So to actually adapt it, we didn't really have to do a whole lot. The tool for experimentation purposes is really more of an adopt scenario. So it's not really off the shelf, but we didn't have to, for example, go and adjust the code. What we're really doing in the experimentation phase of this adopt scenario is looking to adapt the concept of operations of Jigsaw to the NATO context. The opportunity was to accelerate that requirement development phase, which is what we have done.
Yeah, explain that a bit more. What are the various phases of development for something like Jigsaw?
Well, NATO has a capability development model, and it's multi-stage. So the initial stage is you derive and develop the requirement. Then you look at the capability that's required. Then you acquire that capability and implement. So really what we're doing in innovation is we're not really trying to replace the capability development model that NATO was using, but what we look to do is accelerate that requirement development phase. So given the pain point, which is a very big one, as we've kind of alluded to earlier and discussed, this air-to-air refueling thing is a huge enabler and force multiplier for any air campaign. We've been able to acquire or adopt, I guess is the term we want to use, this tool Jigsaw from the U.S. Air Force. And we're experimenting with developing that requirement so that it can then plug into the capability development model.
Once again, we're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel John Clow, the Business Development Officer for ACT Innovation and the NATO Project Officer for the air-to-air refueling software tool. We're talking about Jigsaw. So tell us about how you've been able to integrate this software into some recent real-world exercises. How has it been tested?
Yeah, so the testing was what I would call very practical testing. So what we did was the initial one was done at the NATO CAOC in Poggio Renatico in the spring last year. And what we did is during a NATO, they have a course twice a year called the SHARC, the Specialized Heavy Air Refueling Course. They have a cool badge and everything. They run that twice a year. So what we did, the culmination of that course is planning 108 tanker missions in a 24-hour period. So a team of students plans that using the old method. What we did during this sort of experiment portion that we did was we essentially raced the students. So we took the least capable individual in the room, which happened to be me, and I sort of went against the students as they planned during the traditional, using the traditional methodology. I used Jigsaw with only a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes of intro to Jigsaw. You have to click this, you have to click that. That type of thing. And I did that against the students. They took, it was a team of four individuals that took 3 hours, so therefore 12 person hours. I did that by myself with very little knowledge of tanker planning, very little knowledge of the software, but it's so intuitive. I was able to plan that by myself in 1.5 hours. So that's an 800% efficiency attainment.
And then subsequent to the testing at Poggio Renatico, Jigsaw was then tested a second time at NATO's Ramstein Ambition exercise with pretty similar results, right? Maybe even more impressive, really.
Yeah, we had actually planned during that exercise, which was 300 or 400 tanker missions a day, to do both methods for 3 or 4 days to build comfort with the individuals with the software so that they would, you know, quote unquote, trust it. The second day, they essentially threw out the old method and only wanted to use Jigsaw because it was that much better.
I'm curious, when you ran those exercises at Poggio Renatico and Ramstein Ambition, what did you learn about the utility of a software tool like Jigsaw as you compared it to the traditional flowboard method you described earlier?
Well, to be honest, during the exercise, as is great for the training value, that's why you do exercises, to provide training value in practice. We actually had a, I guess you could call it an acid test of Jigsaw versus the traditional method. So even on that first day, when we ran that sort of test against the traditional method, at Ramstein Ambition this spring, we had a team of about 8 people doing the planning. So they were taking about 300 or 400 tanker missions. So it took long to do that. We ran a test with a trained tanker planning individual. We didn't use me this time. Mm-hmm. And again, he achieved about an 800% efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
That night, there were multiple changes. So the exercise staff actually put in what we call exercise injects. So they removed several tankers from the available fleet, which really had, I guess you could say, major impacts upon the plan.
Mm-hmm.
What would normally have happened is that you would have had to have probably recalled the entire team in that evening of tanker planners to redo that plan.
Hmm.
What they did do is that the one individual that was there sort of keeping the lights on, as you could say, redid the whole plan with Jigsaw in about an hour.
Wow.
So that would have been absolutely impossible. So it's good from a personnel perspective, but what really has to be appreciated is the operational impact. So when, say for myself, as a force commander, and I'm doing my planning for my 4-ship or 8-ship or whatever my component of the air campaign is, I submit my tanker requests. I continue to plan. I will not know, using the traditional method, if my plan will work vis-a-vis the fuel request for several hours. So I could be deep into my planning and then get advised that, yeah, we don't have all the gas that you need, or we have it, but it's, you know, in this location instead of that location. That could cause a major replan.
Mm.
When there's exercise injects or operational, you know, the fog of war, as Clausewitz would say, mm. when there's changes and I can get that answer rapidly, that provides not only a level of reassurance, but it also allows the planning cycle to continue unimpeded. So it's dual fold. You need less people in the actual tanker planning cell to do the planning. They can do it faster, more efficiently. And as well, you get it, you know, you just get, for the ops folks that are getting in the jets and going flying, they know much sooner that what they're requesting is going to work. Therefore, their plan is going to work. So it really is a game changer when it comes to speed and efficiency. And just to highlight efficiency, in the tests, what we've found consistently is you also use about 15% less tanker assets to fulfill the receiver requests. So that is actually huge. So for example, instead of needing 20 tankers, I might only need 17. Which means that I need less tankers in theater, or that I can have more tankers on ready standby on the ground or in the air, because, I mean, you know, things happen. So when you launch a whole whack of tankers, it's going to be likely that maybe one or two of them go unserviceable in the air and can't do what they're supposed to do. Well, I've already got those assets. So it really is efficient from multiple facets.
And as part of that, an intuitive interface itself is one of those efficiencies. You said you were able to make a plan in an hour and a half after just a very basic introduction to the software. So what about that interface makes it so user-friendly, and how was it developed that way?
I think it's user-friendly because of the DevSecOps methodology, the Agile methodology that was employed to actually create it.
Hmm.
So in the more traditional model, what you would have is you would have the operators come up with a requirement. That is then given to procurement folks who go out and contract. That is then given to a company that derives, in this case, the software, and then it's delivered back to the user. The actual user engagement, although of course there's some level, is rather minimal. So essentially, once I as a user would submit a requirement, I may have very little input until I actually get the product that's supposed to solve my problem.
Hmm.
In the case of software, you're really looking at 6 to 9 months in an agile sort of environment to get that software back. But in the traditional, it could potentially take several years, in which case by the time I get my product back, my requirement could have actually changed.
Yeah.
In a DevSecOps methodology, the developers and the operators and the security folks are actually paired all the way along. And we're doing this now. We're actually creating software products for operational pain points, and the developers and the operators are together all the way along. So very early or at any time in the process, something as simple as, well, that button is purple and I need it to be green because of this, it's changed potentially that same day.
Yeah.
Whereas in the traditional method, that process could take weeks or even months to make even a relatively small change. As an example, when we did the test that we referred to earlier on Poggio and Renatico, it was one of these things, right? Unintended consequences. So when Kessel Run flew in with me to Poggio to Italy with a Jigsaw laptop to run this test, what we found is it was set to, when you look at Zulu time and Greenwich Meridian time, it was a 6-hour difference between Italy and Boston. So when we did the initial sort of look at it, when we were planning one 24-hour period, it actually spilled into two 24-hour periods, 18 on one and 6 on the other. Mm. Well, we didn't like that, so we wanted to change it. In order to change that, you need to change the code. So what happened was the Kessel Run rep actually went outside with his cell phone, hotspotted his own laptop, communicated back to Boston. They told him what he needed to change in the code. He walked back in the building and changed it.
Wow.
And for a military person of 30 plus years experience, that was absolutely mind blowing that in a matter of, you know, less than an hour, we could make such a significant change.
Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. So really, that's what you're talking about, is that the user input is paramount in the whole development process. And that's why at the end of this, in a much faster fashion, you get delivered software that does exactly what you want it to do, when you need it to do it, how you need to do it, and it even looks the way you want it to look. And you know this as well. I mean, there's a lot of software out there. I don't want to get in trouble with Microsoft, but say a program like Excel. So if you're an Excel guru, the power of Excel is absolutely incredible what it can do. A person like me, who doesn't have all that intimate knowledge and hasn't done a series of Excel courses, I can only do very, very basic things. So the interface is very, very important. Drop-down menus that look the way I want them to look, clicks and drags, anything that minimizes human data input on a keyboard, minimizes human errors. It's multiplicitous, the impacts of this DevSecOps and Agile methodology that we're employing. Mm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You could use any feature in Excel, but only if you know it exists. You actually have to know that program to dive deep into its capabilities. And the interface of Jigsaw, I think what you're telling me, is so user-friendly, you can use every piece of it almost instantaneously.
Yeah, it literally, and any software like that from this DevSecOps Agile process, the program or the software works the way the user thinks. So that's where you get that intuitive piece that, and you get a person like myself, who in the case of this initial test had virtually zero knowledge of the software and very little knowledge on tanker planning. And I was able to make a plan in an hour and a half. The first time I did it, the second time, and it took me an hour and 15 minutes because I was that much better at it. So this is the power of this agile methodology.
Absolutely. Now, what about improvements and updates, that sort of thing? How were those handled?
Well, softwares like Jigsaw are something called, they're continuously developed. So it's CICD, and you can Google that. Continuous improvement, continuous deployment. Mm. So softwares like this, whenever there's changes or updates to the software, that is pushed out right away. It's much the same as your iPhone, or I'm an iPhone guy, I don't have Android, I assume it's the same. That, you know, often updates itself overnight and you just wake up and say, oh, it's been updated, and away you go. So it's very, very similar. They're constantly pushing updates to these agile software. So they're really organic and continue to evolve. That evolvement not only improves the coding, but it also responds to user inputs for changes as they go along. So it's extremely powerful.
But NATO Air Command is using it now, right?
Yeah, it's currently deployed in AirCom headquarters and KAOC UDEM, which is KAOC North. It handles the northern portion of Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be traveling to Spain to deliver it to KAOC Torrejon, which is KAOC South for NATO, and then we'll go to DAC. It's the deployable air command and control component out of Poggio Renatico, which is NATO's deployable air operations center.
Mm-hmm. So as the business development officer for ACT Innovation and the NATO project officer for this technology, what's the future of the innovation branch? And where do you see things going?
Well, of course, the future of the branch will be determined by the seniors of NATO, but I think that future is very, very bright. So we started off 18 months, 20 months-ish ago with zero coding teams. We're now hiring our fifth coding team. So part of my job, and there's a couple other, we call them matchmakers within the branch, we go out to the warfighting organizations and find their pain points and then help generate projects for the coding teams to solve. As our coding capacity increases, we're able to solve more and more pain points. So we're going out to more and more organizations to try and get them engaged in this experimentation process with us. I think that innovation has taken hold within NATO, and I think the future is very, very bright. I'm very, very excited about it.
Colonel, thank you for your time today, and thank you for participating in this podcast.
Thank you very much. I was very pleased to be here and chat with you about Jigsaw today.